This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Without wasting time, I'm going to invite on the stage, in terms of your program, there has been a slight adjustment. We're going to invite Dr. Connie Israel, the Executive Director of Institutional Advancement at MUT, to welcome all of us, and especially our invited guest. Please give her a round of applause.
Thank you very much. A very good evening to one and all. I almost said, and to Robot Man here. It gives me great pleasure to represent Professor Marcus Ramakgale, our DVC Teaching and Learning, who is regrettably unwell and tenders his sincere apologies. But on behalf of our Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Sibiya Noctula, SEED, and Professor Nkonki Mandledi, and MUT, I bid you all a very warm welcome. In welcoming you all, I wish to acknowledge in this opening especially the following: our esteemed guests at the table in front of you. I know that you will be welcomed specifically, but Professor Magnet Ntombela from NCOSA, Professor Mpedi from UJ, and others in our midst who are here, we bid you a very, very warm welcome. I wish also to acknowledge and recognize the NRF for partially funding this conference. The Vice Chancellor and Principal again, Professor Sibiya, for her support, the DVC Research for partial funding and support, eThekwini Municipality for partnering with MUT, our sister universities and the many who are represented here today, our partners from civil society organizations, we bid you all a very, very warm and hearty welcome this beautiful Durban evening. So we also want to say a warm welcome to executives and heads from community and MUT as well, the executive management. We see deans and others who are here. And to all of you who have made a contribution to the conference program thus far, it is your presence which makes this engagement meaningful, motivational, and indeed masterful. I say this because the Scholarship of Engagement Conference, as you know, is a platform for multidisciplinary knowledge exchange on community, society, university engagement. And this conference has propelled MUT onto a new and exciting level of engagement itself, for which we thank and acknowledge not just Professor Mandleni and her team, but all of you for your contributions. I think we're all familiar with the categories of engagement now: scholarship of discovery, scholarship of integration, of teaching, of application. And these, if effective, realize the vision and mission of universities, both internally and externally, highlighting the role of higher education in service and social responsibility. And yet we still struggle to integrate and incorporate this into our teaching, learning, and curricula, and into the university's ethos and culture and planning. But the call is growing, and the response is gaining traction, this conference being a perfectly good example. As stated so well by Kofi Annan, former Secretary General of the United Nations, in an age where community involvement and partnerships with civil society are increasingly being recognized as indispensable, there is clearly a growing potential for cooperative development and renewal worldwide. And that we are here today celebrating this moment and this milestone is testament to this potential. From my perspective in institutional advancement as well, the potential for us to develop as an outcome a module on community engagement, collaboration, and giving back, civic duty, in other words, becomes even more imperative. And so tonight, colloquially, we move from the rules of engagement, the terms and conditions that often weigh us down, to the scholarship and meaning of engagement. And this gala dinner gives you a special opportunity to assimilate and extend that engagement generated by the information and knowledge sharing that you have already experienced during the day. And so all that is left for me to say is, do enjoy the rest of the evening with us and listen carefully, but engage. Thank you very much.
Don't fall.
Thank you, Dr. Israel. There's rose gold. Is that green gold you're wearing? No, I'm just checking. Oh, okay. I see. Thank you very much. It's nice to be in an event of serious people and academics. Where I come from, the moment they say you're welcome, we take our jackets and we go to the fridge and we see if what we normally consume. Is that? Thank you, Dr. Israel. We are going to invite our next speaker. Kwezinye indawo qale kube khona imbongi. Emangosuthu, there is a song. Uzoshaya liphi namhlanje nomdaye. We can't just welcome the VC like that. Ushalip namhlanje baba. Ah, ngiqinisile ngabe. Oh, microphone. Utsufuna I microphone. Ngeke ngisakubiza ke Prof Sibi.
Oh, city, oh, city, ma.
Dedicated colleagues, brilliant students and friends, good evening. Let me also acknowledge the Deputy Vice Chancellor responsible for resources and planning, Dr. Began Changase, as well as members of the Executive Management Committee meeting. A special warm welcome to my dearest brother VC, the Vice Chancellor of University of Johannesburg, who is also a friend of MUT, Professor Letlogo Mpedi. You are most welcome, my brother. I think this is a blessed event. Yesterday we had another vice chancellor from Rhodes University, who is also a friend, who is also my dearest brother and a friend of MUT, Professor Sizwe Mabizela, and before him, we also had a distinguished professor from the University of Venda. It is both a privilege and a profound joy to welcome you to this special gala dinner on the second evening of our Scholarship of Engagement Conference 2025. As we gather beneath the warm glow of fellowship, reflection, and shared purpose, I'm reminded of why this moment matters. It's not just for Mangosuthu University of Technology, but for the very soul of higher education in our nation and beyond. Over the past 2 days, your voices, rich with insight, experience, and vision, have echoed through the conference venue, breakout rooms, and beyond. You have challenged assumptions, celebrated successes, and honestly confronted the complexities of embedding community engagement into the heart of learning, teaching, and research. And I must say, your passion reaffirms a truth we hold dear at MUT, that knowledge, when disconnected from society, loses its vitality. But when rooted in community, it becomes transformative. As highlighted in our conference theme, Bridging the Knowledge Gap in Advancing the Scholarship of Engagement for Maximum Societal Impact, we are not merely hosting an academic event. We are participating in a movement. A movement inspired by Ernest Boyer's expansive vision of scholarship. One that embraces discovery, integration, teaching, and crucially, application in the service of the public good. We have learned a lot together, from the power of indigenous knowledge systems to the agency of youth-led development, from the promise of transdisciplinary collaboration to the practical realities of scaling small initiatives into systematic change. Your contributions are weaving a new narrative for what universities can and must become. Not ivory towers, but hubs of convergence where academic rigor meets social responsibility. Let us also acknowledge our journey. Tonight, as we look around this room, we see the fruits of collective resolve. Professor Mandleni and the staff of MUT's CEAD, your leadership and resolve are unmatched. And the MUT is reaping the fruits of your hard labor. Thank you, Professor Mandleni and your team. Please give her a round of applause. Through the guidance of the South African Higher Education Community Engagement Forum, SAHISEF, which was launched here at MUT in 2009, which is now called Community Engagement South Africa, SAISA, and through the dedication of faculty, students, and community partners, we have moved from fragmentation towards coherence, from isolation towards collaboration. To our international and national delegates, your willingness to share models from all corners of the world to homegrown innovations across South Africa enriches our collective imagination. True impact emerges not in echo chambers, but in the cross-pollination of ideas across borders, disciplines, and worldviews. As we enjoy this evening's hospitality, let us also renew our commitment. Let us leave this conference not only with new contacts and refined frameworks, but with renewed courage to challenge institutional inertia, to advocate for supportive policies, to measure impact not just in citations, but in changed lives. May the conversations that are initiated here continue long after the final session ends. May the partnerships that have been and will be forged tonight bear fruit in classrooms, labs, lecture halls, and community meetings. And may this gala dinner be remembered not just as a moment of celebration, but as a covenant, a shared promise to keep bringing the knowledge gap one act of engaged scholarship at a time. Thank you for your presence, your wisdom, and your unwavering belief that universities can and must serve society with integrity, humility, and impact. Enjoy the evening. Ngiyabonga.
Siyabonga Soto. Umshayeli izandla Soto esehle. Bengizombamba la ngesikhathi ehle wathi ngingambambi usakwazi ukuyihambela uyintombi. Thank you, Prof.
In my home language, we say Sanbonani, meaning we see you, we acknowledge you. Today, I see a room full of visionaries, hearts that serve and hands that uplift, and minds who are committed to make a difference in the power of engagement. It is truly an honor and a privilege to stand before you all this evening, representing Mangosuthu University of Technology and the many students who carry the spirit of service within our community with excellence aligning perfectly with the institution's strategic goal 3, excellence in community engagement. In this short life, I have had only two truly wonderful experiences. The first was when I matriculated from high school, and the second was when I got admission at Mangosuthu University of Technology. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Nofezile Valencia Jali. I'm a final year student pursuing a diploma in accounting. Beyond my studies, at the heart of who I am, I serve. I serve as a student volunteer under the Community Engagement and Development Directorate and a peer helper under the Student Counseling Unit, committed to a stand against gender-based violence, mental health awareness, and other broader community outreaches. I am a proud recipient of the first prize Best Student Volunteer Award. In South Africa, volunteering is not a foreign language. It is a language that we've always known. One spoken through kindness and the quiet power of compassion. We just called it Ubuntu. Ubuntu reminds us that we are, reminds us that I am because we are. It means that our humanity is shared and that when one person rises, we all rise. My journey in volunteering began with a simple desire to make a positive impact in our community. Along the way, it became a calling. Through initiatives like peer helping, awareness campaigns, and community projects, I have learned that service doesn't just change others, it changes us. This journey has taken me from the lecture hall to the community, even on a global stage. Representing MUT and South Africa in the G20 summit as a liaison officer responsible for the UK delegation. The experiences I have encountered on this journey remind me that exposure builds understanding. It opens our hearts and minds to the world beyond our comfort zone. I am truly grateful to the Community of Engagement and Development Directorate, my mentors, and the MUT leadership for creating platforms that allow students to connect learning with life to make knowledge meaningful through service. When we talk about scholarship of engagement, we are talking about the power of partnerships, where universities and communities learn with each other and not just about each other. We share skills, ideas, and compassion and come back with lessons that shape our humanity. Community engagement is more than an obligation. It is a shared responsibility. It is a reflection of hope, a belief that every small act of service, no matter how small, contributes to something greater. Student volunteerism builds confidence, empathy, and leadership, teaching us to step outside our comfort zone and become active citizens. For the communities we serve, it brings hope, support, and the reminder that they are seen, valued, and not alone. For the university, it strengthens its role as a partner in development, fulfilling strategic goal 3, excellence in community engagement. Together, these impacts show that community engagement is a two-way exchange, a relationship where learning flows in both directions. When we grow, where we grow as we serve, and where our communities are lifted through collaboration, not charity. As Nelson Mandela once said, what counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is what difference we have made to the lives of others that will determine the significance of the life we lead. And remember, this is not goodbye. We shall meet again in service, because once a heart is committed to giving, it can never stop seeking ways to uplift others. Because at MUT, we shape and own the future. Cheers to a journey that continues with community engagement and development. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it gives us immense pleasure when we see our students succeeding, Ms. Jali. Well done. It gives us job satisfaction as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the enviable task this evening to introduce our keynote speaker. Our keynote speaker is Professor Leplokwa George Mpedi, and he's asked me not to read the entire bio because we might miss dinner. So I'm going to just take a little bit of leeway and just give you a brief introduction into Professor Mpedi, But the rest of the bio is on the document you received at the conference earlier on yesterday. So, ladies and gentlemen, who is Professor Mphedi? Professor Mphedi is the Vice Chancellor and Principal of University of Johannesburg. He hails from a law background. He has completed a B.Juris in 1996 and an LLB in 1998 at the Vista University. And then in 2001, he obtained an LLM degree in labor law, which was conferred upon him by the then Rand Afrikaans University, now known as University of Johannesburg. He has received the Dard Award twice in 2000 and 2001. I think he deserves a round of applause for that. He's been doing research in Germany, and that is where he's completed his LLM and his LLD thesis. Upon completing his LLD, he was employed as a junior lecturer in the Department of Mercantile Law at the Vista University Mamelodi campus. He then joined the Center for International and Comparative Labor and Social Security Law at the then Rand University as a researcher in the year 2000. In August 2003, Professor Mphedi accepted the position as a research fellow at the Max Planck Institute for Foreign and International Social Law in Munich, Germany. Upon his return to South Africa in 2006, he was employed as a director. In the same year, the LLD degree in mercantile law was conferred upon him by the University of Johannesburg. Professor Mphedi successfully completed the Oxford Advanced Management and Leadership Program offered by Oxford University. Ladies and gentlemen, the accolades go on, and you're most welcome to refer to our brochure to see. It gives me immense pleasure on behalf of our Vice Chancellor and Principal, Prof. Noctula Sibiya, to take this opportunity and on behalf of Mangosuthu University of Technology to invite Professor Mphedi onto the stage to address you as a keynote speaker this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for Professor Mphedi. Thanks, Prof.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prof. Prof, I have a job for you at UJ, you know. I'm joking, Prof. Sibiya. Since you have altered slightly what we said, you know. So I'm also amending our... Anyway, my dear friend and colleague, Professor Noctula Sibiya, Vice Chancellor and Principal of MUT... Ladies and gentlemen, when Prof. Sibiya calls you, you better answer, and the answer better be yes. And for me, whenever she calls, I gladly say yes. And I'll tell you, I listened carefully when she was inaugurated, and I was there, and I was like, this is my kind of leader, because she means business, because she's hungry, just like me. She wants to take MUT places just like me. Leaders today, especially vice chancellors who are not hungry, who thinks they have arrived, they've got no place in higher education. If you have arrived, you'll be left where you are and watch this institution, MUT. And I include many other hungry vice chancellors out there. They are taking institutions to places that no one... Yeah, you watch this place. This is what I would say. And let's give Prof. Sibiya a warm round of an applause. Let me also use this opportunity to acknowledge her leadership team. I mean, you can't do this job without the support of your leadership team. I also want to use this opportunity to acknowledge all the leaders of our sister institutions present here today and those who spoke before, 2 days ago, I understand that my dear colleague and friend, Professor Mabizela from Rhodes University spoke, addressed you. I would like to acknowledge him. Prof. Francis from the University of Venda also spoke. Let me acknowledge our colleague. And Prof. Monk from Kulul University, Uganda also spoke. I mean, we're in this together, isn't it? Senior leaders, colleagues from various sister institutions throughout the country and other countries present here today, I acknowledge you this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, our TVET colleges represented here today, I acknowledge you, all of you. It is important that we work together. The future looks good, but only if we work together. I mean, we have only 26 universities in South Africa, and we cannot accommodate all the students. You know, some students will need to be accommodated, not accommodated, they will need to learn certain skills, you know, with TVET colleges, and our TVET colleges and community colleges will only do well if not only if they get our support. And I know many universities are involved, including MUT, and we need to continue to support our TVET colleges. So I thought you'll give us a warm round of an applause, you know, for doing that. And I acknowledge our representatives of our TVET colleges. Please also allow me to acknowledge partners present here today. eThekwini Municipality, I know is well represented here. Civil society organizations, stakeholder community, friends, students. We're here because of our students. You know, without students, there are no universities. And let's give our student a warm round of applause. She spoke very well. Their future looks good. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. You sound hungry? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You sound like you lack energy. I mean, after nice entertainment, also the dancing. Earlier, I was like, my colleague from UJC, Mathuri, I was like, if at UJ, when before the vice chancellor spoke and you sang like that, you'd make a black man blush. You know, I was so jealous. You know. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Historically, ladies and gentlemen, accusations have been hurled at universities for being ivory towers. I'm sure you've heard this. We have been accused of being insulated from the world beyond our gates in pursuit of knowledge, disconnected from pressing challenges facing society. This characterization, ladies and gentlemen, though often unfair, must be actively challenged. I say this evening, this characterization, though often unfair, must be actively challenged. In his 1997 seminal work, The University in Ruins, Bill Readings declared, and I quote, "It is no longer clear what role the university plays in society." Almost two decades on, I perhaps have some answers for Readings, ladies and gentlemen. Beyond all else, the university is a space for the pursuit of knowledge, as it has long been and as it must remain. People say universities are going to die. I mean, universities survived for thousands of years. Why must they die now? Because, Prof. Sibiya, we are vice chancellors? No, I see. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, the nature of this pursuit evolves over time. Now, as I understand it, this pursuit encompasses testing new ideas, preparing graduates for the world as we know and as it will become, and finding answers to some of the most pressing challenges of our time with a view towards implementation. Ladies and gentlemen, as universities, we must recognize that we exist within a complex and often challenging social landscape. This landscape is marked by inequality, burgeoning unemployment, infrastructure challenges, and the persistent legacies of our nation's history. Let me pause there. I say this, and I know I'm unpopular and I don't care, that gone are the days where university should be proud of being exclusive. People are proud about how exclusive they are. Oh, you know, we serve this small group of people. Somebody recently said to me, Vice Chancellor, and I know the colleague meant well, said, Vice Chancellor, you must visit those schools. And please don't go alone. Bring certain group of people, you know, from this other race group. Don't go alone. And I was like, hell no, I don't need to visit these schools. We need these kids to come and study with other kids, of course. Why must I do this? To confirm what? For this academic year, and I'm not bragging, is a fact, we got almost 700,000 applications. For next year, we got, by the end of last month, around 750,000 applications. Now, per head is around 400,000. Remember, one can have two choices. Now, what we do, we follow a fair and objective criteria. We take from the top. It doesn't matter whether you come from my village or not. No, we take the best. So we don't need to go and rub shoulders with people because they come from rich families. No. If they have the right marks, then they have a right to enter our gates and study with our students. So we take the best. We don't look at the skin color. We don't look at your address. We don't look at, you know, your village, your parents. No. So if those kids have what it takes to study with us, they are most welcome. But if they want to go to a place where daddy does this, mommy does this, or you come from this address, then they are most welcome to go where they look at those. At our institution, we welcome everybody. Our university is for all. And our university represents the demographics of the country. This nonsense that there is a black university, there's no black university. We have whites, we've got blacks, Indian, colored, villagers, people from suburbs and all that is how it goes. The only differentiator is that, or the only requirement is that you must have the right APS score, period. This is South Africa 2025, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we mean by this point. I had to explain it. This is what I mean by this. Gone are the days where people should say, no, it's about this and that. We have to appreciate these realities on the ground. So this is what I meant by this landscape that is marked by inequality, burgeoning unemployment, infrastructure challenges, and persistent legacies of our nation's history. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, this same landscape teems with untapped potential. Imagine 2025. There are people who still talk about NSFAS students. As if you are an NSFAS recipient, automatically it means you are dumb. I say no. We have about, let me not talk percentages, then I get it wrong and people skin me alive. But a substantial number of our students are NSFAS recipients. It's not unusual to have a child of a CEO studying next alongside somebody who, you know, comes from a village, and there's nothing wrong with that, or NSFAS, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't mean they are dumb. Their crime is because they come from a humble background. Does it mean they should not study? That's why we argue and say access and excellence are not mutually exclusive. So there is this perception that if you are accessible, you cannot be excellent. Quality and quantity are not mutually exclusive. There's a perception that if there is quantity, then there is no quality. We need to change those perceptions. There is this African saying that a monkey, now I shouldn't talk about monkeys, but it's an African saying. There is this African saying that a monkey, when it cannot reach a banana, it says that banana that it cannot reach is not sweet enough. It's not me. It's an African saying. I wrote about it in my previous book, From the Baobab to the Mosquito, Rethinking Leadership Through African Saying. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is this untapped potential where people are marginalized because of their unfortunate circumstances, and we need to change that as institutions of learning, especially through what brought us together, and I'll talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, this dichotomy, as I say, begs the question, how we can, apologies, engage with our communities more meaningfully, more sustainably, and with genuine reciprocity? You cannot engage with our communities with arrogance. Where I come from, there is this saying, and I translate it in English, that I'm a proud poor person. I don't know if you've heard about that. Those who understand Setswana, it says, Kimudidi we kantang. You spoke in Zulu, program director. My senior executive director spoke 2 nights ago on Ukozi Umapigo Pigo. I don't know Zulu. I thought I understood Zulu, but his Zulu was deep. I listened and I thought, I said, what is Umkaka? Ujula? I'm like, no, no, no. So in Setswana, it's like I may be poor, but I've got my pride. If you come with arrogance, you can take all your gold and jewelry and diamonds and walk away from me. So we must engage with dignity, with respect, and so on, ladies and gentlemen. So the ivory tower stance suggests universities have created intellectual and moral distance from the communities they find themselves in. You engage with arrogance, the communities will never engage with you. This perception damages not only our reputation, but more importantly, our effectiveness. Knowledge generated in isolation from lived experience risks irrelevance. Students educated without meaningful connection to community contexts risk graduating as technically competent but socially disconnected professionals. Educated fools. Have you heard about educated fools? People who are certificated, but you know. People who don't know, there's a time and place to become a vice chancellor, and there's a place where vice chancellor at UJ. At a village, if people are slaughtering a cow, you are not vice chancellor there, you are a villager. It ends there. Professor at MUT. At a village, you are a villager. We need to adapt and change so that people, you know, can be able to ask us questions and learn from us and be inspired. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because people look up to us. We should not repel people. We should attract people because we learn from each other. We should not, because of these perceptions, repel people. We should, things that should repel is like mosquito repellents. Those type of things should repel, but us, the so-called educated, should attract, not repel. Educated fools, we should not. You know, I grew up at a place where there was this guy who had a BA who walked around and say, you know, at a graduation ceremony wearing this black gown and say, you know, when people look at us, they say we are mourning for education. And later on, when I realized that there's a red gown for those, for doctors, and I'm like, wow. Wow. I'm fortunate because I managed one day to get that red gown, isn't it? But what about other villagers who never got to even understand that, you know? And thought that man was mourning for education. You know, with the, I'm not saying, I mean, he achieved something, but what gave him a right to walk mourning for education, you know? So sometimes we, the so-called educated, are a problem instead of becoming a solution. Of course, it's not easy to get these things, but you know. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing that I need you to remember is that the ivory tower stance suggests universities have created intellectual and moral distance from the communities they find themselves in. This perception damages not only our reputation, but more importantly, our effectiveness. Knowledge generated in isolation from lived experience risks irrelevance. And we need to guard against that. Students educated without meaningful connection to community contexts risk graduating as technically competent but socially disconnected professionals. The scholarship of engagement offers a powerful antidote to this isolation. Unlike traditional outreach or service models, where universities bestow their expertise upon passive communities, engagement, ladies and gentlemen, scholarship recognizes the multidirectional flow of knowledge. Communities are thus fundamentally seen as knowledge producers in their own right. In this pursuit, we must remember that our students are current citizens whose learning deepens through authentic partnership with the world beyond our campuses. Ladies and gentlemen, our students arrive at our university seeking not just credentials, but purpose. They want their education to matter to their families, their communities, their country, and their own sense of identity and contribution. When we confine learning to lecture halls and laboratories alone, we should change their development and limit their potential for impact. This emphasis on engagement is not a romanticized notion. It is already happening in pockets across our institution and needs to become a norm, our norm. At the University of Johannesburg, we have actively tried to challenge these traditional models of teaching, learning, and research. We knew we had a particular opportunity and responsibility in this reimagining. At the beginning of the year, ladies and gentlemen, we launched our new strategic plan to do just this with a core theme of societal impact and sustainability. At the heart of this plan are three key objectives: societal impact, global footprint and partnerships, and technology for the future. Each of these pillars, ladies and gentlemen, are part of UJ's commitment to creating a meaningful and sustainable role. For example, we launched what we call UJ Societal Impact Project in collaboration with the private sector. You can't do this alone, you need partners, where residents in remote areas of Limpopo can access essential and critical services such as power, energy, running water, and internet connectivity using 4IR technologies. Of course, as vice chancellors, you are always in trouble, Prof. Sibiya. People started attacking me, saying I took projects to my people in Limpopo, and I'm not from Limpopo. But we should not stop doing right things, you know. To give an example, we work with the local chiefs. It's important to work with local chiefs with respect, you know. There are three villages that we have adopted. Only one man worked. The local municipality provided diesel to pump water. 2 days later, there would be no diesel. Then the villagers would go and get water from the river. Cases of malaria were high because people get water from the river. Using God-given solar power, we partnered with a generous donor, a private company, using solar power. We sunk boreholes. Now villagers got water. They started their food gardens. Baboons traveled them. Don't underestimate local knowledge. You know, when baboons started stealing their vegetables, villagers planted chilies, baboons ate chilies, ran away, never came back. It's incredible. Never underestimate local communities. They never phoned UJ and say, hey, baboons are eating our things. They came up with their own solutions. Only one man worked. We set up a solar-powered bakery, something that in cities we take for granted, you know, bread, that you can go to a spaza shop or to a shop and buy bread. They didn't have. Using a solar-powered bakery, now it's hybrid with Eskom power. They bake, because ladies now can bake at night, they bake 200 loaves of bread per day, saving 10 villages. That is societal impact. Yeah. I don't want to spend the whole night talking about this, but we do a lot more. All the faculties are involved. There's a justice center, law, arts, design, and architecture. Ladies can now make clothes. And what touched me, they showed gratitude. The first clothes that they made them in UJ colors. And that touched my heart because they had to be orange, you know. Clinics, there's containers. So ladies used to be checked, you know, mobile clinics under trees. Now there are containers and so on. It's just incredible. One thing that also touched me, we work with engineering students. I went there almost four times, and I noticed that some of the students, and from all races, they go there. And I asked the students, but how many times have you been here? They said, some said four times. I'm like, but what brings you here? They work till 9 p.m. They are not being paid. And those students, their stories were heartwarming. One said to me, Prof, I'm training to become an engineer. Here, if you forget a wrench, you can't drive and go to a supply store to buy a wrench. As a future engineer, you have to make it happen because when we live here, things must work. If I can make it here, I'll make it everywhere. And if I can, and I'm not bragging, we're sharing amongst friends, right? That is arguably, you know, I like how our friends from the Eastern Cape would say, they'll say, "Nya sherisha ne mtase." We're just sharing, ne? That is arguably the first smart village in Africa because professors from UJ, which is more than 400 Ks, can operate systems from Johannesburg while this is in Venda in Limpopo. They can tell when things will fail and then when they go in advance and replace parts without any issues. And the most heartwarming thing is that the villagers look after these things like they know the value of this thing. There were issues with villagers. Some villages, they didn't have water. So they would go and grab water from another village. They start having fights. So we sunk more boreholes and the students and their professors worked till late. So they couldn't finish working. The next day I was there. Of course, vice chancellors must go and sleep, Prof, isn't it? In the morning I came to check. Yes, how is it going? And then they showed me ash on the construction site and they were wondering what happened. We inquired and were told that the villagers came. Men didn't sleep. They made fire. They were protecting the equipment. They slept there to guard the equipment. That is the commitment that if you do this type of work. Don't worry, I'll finish my speech on time. But I had to share, right? And I'm not bringing about UJ, but it's just to inspire that students, communities, and ownership, you can do a lot of things together. So joined ownership, and guess what? Cases of malaria dropped. Now, this solar geysers that we put on top of our roofs, you know what happened at this village? They were put at strategic corners. Now, villagers, if they want hot water, they go to the street corners to get hot water, and then they can do whatever they want. Street lights, solar-powered street lights that are set using AI, they can sense if the streets are busy at night. When it gets quieter, they get dimmer, dimmer, dimmer. And in the, is that proper English? Then in the morning, when it gets busier, then they get brighter. And when the sun comes, then they switch off. It's a village. And this thing that people say, foreigners, this and that, is incredible. Because our professors from West Africa, I didn't know you could grow cassava in South Africa. They planted cassava in Venda. And people were having cassava leaves as morocco. Unfortunately, it died because it got so hot. But we know we can grow it, and then we are going to address food poverty. I will make quicker progress now. I had to share this. And it's not just these colleagues. We operate everywhere. In the Eastern Cape, there are villages that didn't have water. Now using hydro panels, of course, sponsored by a generous donor. Did you know you can harvest water from the atmosphere? On a bad day, we harvest over 8,000 potable liters, saving 1,000 villages with fresh water that they didn't have. And we don't know these people from a bar of soap. It's just because we heard that they didn't have water. That is part of community engagement. Professors working with students, helping communities. And that is what we are talking about. That is how it should be. And I thought you'll give us a warm round of an applause. So these students, one day when they go out there and work in communities, they will treat communities with respect. They will never go and overcharge communities because they know what this means, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this approach necessitates sharing power over research agendas and resources. Of course, this approach requires institutional commitment through structures, policies, and research and resources that make engagement central rather than peripheral to our identity. You cannot do hit and run. Once you go to these communities, you have to go back again and again and again. We've been involved with these communities over 15 years, ladies and gentlemen. The one in Venda. And the latest, 2 months ago, we delivered 130 bicycles sponsored by APSA. Kids used to wake up at 4 a.m. because when you go there, you see more needs. Kids used to wake up at 4 a.m. to be at school at 8. Imagine 4 a.m. walking until 8. What do you do? When you get to class, you sleep. And then people expect you to pass. Come on. This is a school which is the worst performing school. After setting up a learning center with satellite internet, their pass rate for matric went from 57% to 92.1%. Now it's the best performing school. And it's not witchcraft. Through community engagement and partnership, these things are possible. So, ladies and gentlemen, engagement has to be woven into the fabric of how we operate. That is my message tonight. Curriculum reform is equally essential. Every program should include opportunities for students to engage meaningfully with community challenges. Students must see the results. You can put students in a bus and go to a village and eat and see the locals and come back and they don't see the results. You wasted their time. They must see the results. Every program should include opportunities for students to engage meaningfully with the community. This doesn't mean superficial site visits or charity-oriented service projects. It means substantive, sustained partnerships where students grapple with real problems and work alongside community members. In these projects, there's ownership. Side by side, community members work with students. Because when students come back to university, the villagers must continue, community members must continue looking after the project. Roland Rubens and Azupogo in 2018 asserted, and I quote, sustainable development in Africa is essentially, is only possible when it involves a bottom-up approach and brings in a multitude of local endeavors. In order for this to occur, community knowledge bases must be captured and utilized, close quote. As we reimagine the scholarship of engagement, we are not abandoning academic excellence. We are expanding our understanding of what excellence means. This is a recognition that the most sophisticated research often emerges from engagement with complex real-world problems. Now, tonight I have shared our recipe. That's why UJ is number one university in Africa in terms of the contribution towards the realization of sustainable development goals. That's why UJ is number 26 in the world in terms of contribution towards the realization of sustainable development goals. That's why UJ is number 2 in the world in terms of its contribution towards the realization of SDG number 1, which is no poverty. So you can try and beat us. Then we'll work together in alleviating all these problems around sustainable development goals. Ladies and gentlemen, as we reimagine the scholarship of engagement, we are not abandoning academic excellence. Why? Anything that has got anything to do with helping others is seen as lowering standards. Huh? You bring people from villages that need education. You feed students that need education. You support them. You are lowering standards. You bring people from villages, you do this, you are lowering standards. Community engagement has got nothing to do with lowering standards. Why? Remember, there are 3 points here that we are dealing with. It's teaching and learning, it's research and community engagement. Why is community engagement the stepchild? Have you noticed? Teaching and learning, Research, But what about community engagement? Tonight, let's ask ourselves, why is community engagement the stepchild of higher education? It is the stepchild of higher education because it is not valued. It is not funded in the same way as teaching and research, and we need to change that, ladies and gentlemen. Please clap. We have to change that. We have to work hard, you know, and elevate this. One thing that I need to raise before I sit down is that, ladies and gentlemen, we must definitely make sure that whatever we do in this space, we speak passionately about this, we document this. Like I spoke tonight, I hope I spoke with enough passion. I could share a lot of stories about this that made a difference in the lives of ordinary people, and I'm not going to be apologetic about this. And we must also expose people who talk about this thing and without matching it with, you cannot talk about community engagement and societal impact and not match it with real life stories. And we shouldn't do this with the aim of, we don't do it to brag. You know, you help the poor because, not the poor. We work with these communities because it's the right thing to do. Not to say, hey, look, I helped this man. Hey, I helped that. Then is a problem. Like the people who go around giving people things so that they can post. We don't do it for that. We do it because it's the right thing to do. So we need to share this. Have all these magazines together. So that we share all this, we launched a magazine we call Impactful UJ. Please launch this magazine so that your work is elevated. People see the time has come for community engagement work to be visible, just like teaching and learning work, just like research work, because nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the evolution of higher education towards societal impact. Let's join forces and make sure that this happens. It must be very clear in South Africa, this task is urgent. It must be acknowledged that due to the structural and systemic inequities that existed pre-1994, it's still in recovery mode from a dark history. The urgency to recalibrate, to boost our economy and continue to widen access is the need is really huge, and we can't do it alone. We need to work together. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we do so through a new lens, you know, the lens of societal impact, which I've already mentioned. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded of the words of the Kenyan activist and Nobel laureate Wangari Maathai, who said, and I quote, "In the course of history, there comes a time when humanity is called to shift to a new level of consciousness, to reach a higher moral ground, a time when we have to shed our fear and give hope to each other. That time is now." Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, that time is now. I can speak like this because I come from a village in a village in Hammanskraal. I don't talk about things that I hear people talk about. I consider myself as one of the lucky ones. It was not guaranteed that I'll go to university. There are people who are much smarter than me that were not fortunate to get opportunities that I got. And I feel like I have a duty to make sure that I support as many people as I can. I encourage as many people as I can. The work that we're doing at UJ, we cannot do it alone. We need to exchange notes. Imagine all 26 universities, just say in South Africa. We adopted 3 villages just in Limpopo and many more, by the way. And if we all do the same in our own special ways, we can make a huge difference. If we could compete here, universities compete, né? Which I love. But if we compete in this space, I'm telling you, we can make a huge difference. MUT, thank you so much. My dear friend and sister colleague, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your attention.
VC and Principal, Professor Sibiya. Professor Mpendi, our keynote speaker, VC of the University of Johannesburg. DVC, Dr. Njangase. DVC, Dr. Kevin Ramsigi. Oh, sorry, Dean, Executive Dean. And the Executive Dean, Professor Msomi. And also Dr. Chizonga. Dr. Connie Israel, I'm starting with the executive management. Yes, Akun. Universities that are represented here. We have got 14 actually that came to the conference. Please give yourselves a round of applause. Our partners. Without you, community engagement ceases to exist as MUT. Oh, ding apelong msebenzi.
Dr. Ngubani. partners of Mangosuthu University of Technology, Etyogin Municipality, civil society organizations, participants in various positions, some were session chairs, some were facilitators of panels, some were panelists, students, and the entire congregation, good evening. It is an honor and a privilege for me to stand in front of this momentous occasion, which marks the first community engagement, scholarship of engagement conference at MUT. I must say I'm humbled. I don't like camera. I don't like to be in front of people. I always like working behind the scenes. It's quite humbling to see all of you coming to support us and to really celebrate with us this milestone. I came to MUT in 2015. This is going to be my 10th year at MUT. I was about to quit Prof. Sibiya. I had already made my mind because I studied farming. I said, you know what, let me just get myself a small holding and get out of here. But I think the narrative is going to change because of the support that I've received from the executive management. Professor Sibiya really is quite humbling. And also Dr. Min in her absence for generously funding the conference, as well as our partners, the NRF. Where are they? Guys, you are amazing. It's quite humbling. You have managed to fund us generously as well. So we are very, very humbled by your generosity and gesture. I also want to thank academic staff members. You know, when I came to MUT in 2015, there was passion, Professor Mpeti, for community engagement, but its nature was, it was not engaging. It was top down. So, but there was passion. Academic staff members were all over. We were distributing shoes, were distributing pads. Hey, whoopies, logiali. And I was asking myself, have these communities been consulted? No, we felt that they need it. So we needed to start to look at how we can start engaging inside the university to say, this is not community engagement as such, so we need to go back to the drawing board and see how we can be like a university such as UJ. So, fortunately, when I came to MUT, I learned that my predecessor, Professor Lana, had managed to be a part of the introduction of a body that is going to look after community engagement in the entire South Africa, the South African Higher Education Community Engagement Forum. So what happened is that because this community engagement was quite a new beast, and all the 26 universities didn't know what it meant. They were very comfortable with teaching and learning and research, but what is this community engagement? So this body was launched at MUT in 2009, and that body really helped me to find a home. So I'm with legends here, the likes of Dr. Karen Fenter, please raise your hand, from Free State University, the likes of Jiva from CUT, the likes of a University of Western Cape. I don't see Priscilla Daniels. I think she's not here now. Professor Priscilla, she was here. Stellenbosch University, Now they are represented by Mr. Mawetu. The likes of Rhodes University, wow, the Giants. I found a home because I was like, community engagement, we really need to do something at MUT because there's passion here. There's passion, but we need to do things right. And by that time, because I found Mrs. Ngidi, please raise your hand. I found her in the office holding on in the interim. And then she told me that when I reported on the 1st of January 2015, she put on my table the 2011 audit report of DHET. Oh, goodness, what is this now? And then the DHET report was saying community engagement at MUT is so fragmented. It's operating in silo, it's so detached from teaching and learning and research. But today, 10 years later, things are shaping up at MUT because of Sahisef. And what also helped me, I want to give you a tip. I have worked for UNISA for 8 years. UNISA is so big. So in order for you to find complexities of university, get involved very quickly. So that's what I did with SAHISEF. And I found myself being a deputy chairperson of SAHISEF. Wow. Because I wanted to learn. Now, on Monday this week, we had our annual general meeting to say now we can't continue to become a forum. We need to become an NPC, and that transition happened under my leadership as an interim chairperson. I'm very grateful to Professor Sibiya because the energy that I'm getting is from her. Her energy is contagious. I promise you. It's contagious, and I'm so grateful to you, Prof. And I'm also grateful to all the support of all academics at MUT. There was a time where I was really battling to come up with a framework for the scholarship of engagement. And Dr. Makua lent me an ear because that time he was acting at DVC. And said, Prof. Manzlini, what is this? Okay, let's hear what you want to say. And I said, no, I want to conduct a study, say, on appreciative inquiry so that I can consult all staff members from the executive up to the lowest level. That appreciative inquiry is the one that assisted MUT to come up with a framework for scholarship of engagement and with the, in partnership with the University of Western Cape. So I'm grateful. It has been a journey, Prof. Sibiya. It has been a journey, but there has been support. It's just that when people don't understand, it's like they don't like you or they it's just because they don't understand. So it needed me to be so patient with them, and it has taught me what you call resilience. So I wanted just to give you a background where we come from at MUT and where we are now. And I am so proud that we are already publishing papers. There are academic staff members that are already publishing papers coming from their community engagement projects, and those papers are showing a certain integration of community engagement into their teaching, and also a level of involvement of students into their teaching. So I'm so proud. Now it makes us more relevant as a university because we are able to contribute to the second stream income because of these publications. So please be proud of yourselves, MUT community. You are doing well. And I'm proud really to have the support of the executive deans. They are amazing. Now, I just want to tap onto the wisdom of Mrs. Mkhize Mbali. When I came to MUT in 2015, she was very supportive because she's got this I don't know, but she does magic. She's a magical person. She does magic. So she'll sit down with me and say, "Hi, Bosi." She wouldn't call me Prof. And didn't engage again. "Hi, Bosi." I said, "Zekanje na Bosi." And then here we are today because of that input that I got from her. So there are so many people that I would love to thank in this university to say, "Wow, guys, I nearly left. I was about to leave. As I had already made my calculations because I did agriculture. My background is agriculture. I'm supposed to be doing farming. But because of the passion that I have for communities and for people." So I thank everyone. And I just want now to start thanking the local organizing team that has been comprised of MUT staff and also extended partners. I've got in front of me Dr. Naidu Bisney. Let them must see you. And we put together the program together for the conference. And also at Tegin Municipality, because we've got a serious partnership with the two, Mr. Linda Mbonambi, and also Yoraka Singh. And then I kept on getting the feedback from the SAHISAF. So we managed to put the program together. And as a directorate, we are quite a small directorate, and we are almost invisible in the university. Some of us don't even know us. And you are highly unlikely to be known in that university because community engagement is a stepchild. That's the story, Moss. So you're almost there. What is this person doing? So I'm very grateful, colleagues, for everyone, for supporting us and showing that you are with us in this journey, because we are in a township with a various societal impacts, challenges. There's so many challenges in our township are just at our doorstep. All we need to do now is to be very strategic and work together, break those silos, because out there, the challenges are quite complex. Not one discipline can be able to address those challenges. Let's learn to work together. And so that we can also be like UJ, finding ourselves adopting a community and so on and so forth. So at this point, I just want to say thank you to everyone. If I didn't mention you, it's not because I don't like you. I might have forgotten. So I want to, in advance, to apologize, to say, if I didn't mention you, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I just forgot. But I love you all. May God richly bless you. May God grant you the desires of your hearts. Because out there, when you go out to communities, it's like what God wants us to do. We must give in order to be given. And at MUT, we had to emphasize that we are not going to give you fish. We are going to show you how to fish. So it's only about skills and knowledge. We are not a charity organization. So we make those very, very clear. But I'm very grateful to our partners that also support us. Toyota is also one of our supporters. They support us a lot in terms of our community engagement projects. I think I've covered everything. Is there anything that I didn't cover? Program director, I think I'm done.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Standing up. Oh.